In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, July 12th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The names of the five police officers killed at the Black Lives Matter protest over the weekend have been released. They are Lorne Ahrens, Michael Kroll, Michael Smith, Brent Thompson, and Patrick Zamaripa. Michael Smith was a member of Watermark Community Church, father of two children in their early teens. Pastor Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, spoke to The World View concerning how Christians should respond to these tragedies.
First of all, as Christians, we need to teach exactly what the Bible teaches, and that is we ought to honor law enforcement authorities. Romans 13:4 says, law enforcement authorities are, quote, ministers of God, sent by God to punish evildoers. And the police officers are just as called by God as pastors are. God has a function for them, and that's to preserve order in society.
According to Romans 13, police officers are ordained by God to punish evildoers. If you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Protests organized by Black Lives Matter are attempting to block freeways and roadways in major cities across the country. According to data from the National Archive of Criminal Justice, the number of justifiable homicides by law enforcement officers has fluctuated between 300 and 450 per year. Between 1976 and 1980, blacks made up about 50% of the recorded justifiable homicides. The Washington Post reports that in 2015, 24% of those shot and killed by police were of African American descent. Two court bailiffs were shot and killed at the county courthouse in St. Joseph, Michigan yesterday afternoon. Reports indicate an inmate wrested a gun from a police officer and began shooting. Several others were wounded and the suspect was killed in the melee. In other news, 9 Christians were hacked to death in the Congo last week, according to Baz News Life. Rebels from an Islamic group called the Allied Democratic Forces have killed over 1,000 Congolese over the last 2 years and forcibly displaced another 34,000. NBC News and the Associated Press tell the touching story of 36-year-old Emmanuel Namdi, a Nigerian Christian who escaped to Italy after witnessing Muslim terrorists kill his parents and his daughter at church. Emmanuel and his wife Chinyere were in Fermo, Italy, where he encountered racist violence. When he objected to his wife being called a monkey in Italy, Emmanuel was beaten into a coma from which he never awoke. Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi is committing to tackle racism after this story gained international attention. It was the second fastest-growing church in America and the largest church in South Carolina, with an attendance of 32,000 people on Sundays. Now, the Southern Baptist megachurch has dismissed its founding pastor, Perry Noble, under charges of alcoholism and a terrible marriage, according to the Christian Post. In an official announcement, the New Spring church leaders said they had followed the Matthew 18 directives, and Pastor Noble, quote, chose not to properly address these ongoing issues or take the necessary steps to correct them, unquote. Noble's dismissal follows in a recent series of high-profile resignations of young pastors from large megachurches, including Mark Driscoll, C.J. Mahaney, Tully and Chavijan, Darren Patrick, and David Lovelace. Jesus speaks to the Laodicean church, wherever it is found, in these words, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Revelation 3:16-17. The United Reformed Church of the UK voted to accept homosexual marriage by an overwhelming majority. The URC is the third largest denomination in England and the largest religious organization to officially approve of this particular sin. 56% of Americans disagree with the FBI's decision not to charge Hillary Clinton with the crime for her handling of security issues as Secretary of State. The Washington Post ABC News poll found 30% of Democrats and 90% of Republicans disappointed with the decision. And Ken Ham, founder of Answers in Genesis, gave his former debate opponent the VIP treatment at the ARC encounter last Friday. Bill Nye, the science guy, toured the real-life ARC replica near Cincinnati in what Ken Ham called an amicable visit. Ken said he was able to witness the gospel and pray with Bill Nye, nationally known to be both an evolutionist and an atheist. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, July 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today in studio, Steve Vaughn. We are homeschool fathers raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado with a distinctively biblical worldview during a period of time in which the schools have been largely perverted in terms of their worldview, in terms of the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, no longer considered to be the fear of God. It was for a while. There was Bible reading, there was prayer in school, there was the legalization of the fear of God in the public schools until the 1960s. But it is interesting. Today we're going to talk about the courts. It is interesting that the Supreme Court and the courts in this country seem to be the means by which society has been most perverted. And I'm not sure why, but we're going to explore this on this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. Recently, the Supreme Court has encouraged, has enervated, has energized the pro-abortion movement and the pro-homosexual movement big time. They have received so much energy, more energy than they have ever received from any institution in America in the history of this country. Pro-abortion movements, pro-homosexual movements, all very much encouraged by the courts. And we're going to touch on that on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. But the Supreme Court has led the pack in its rebellion against Almighty God. As the nation has taken the hard left, it seems to me it hasn't been the legislatures. It hasn't been the presidents. It has been the courts that has perverted this nation, that has destroyed this nation more than any other institution. It's possible culture. It's possible that Hollywood. It's possible the universities have been behind this. And we're going to dig down into the universities and find that it's the ideologies taught in the universities that brought about the radical rebellion at the Supreme Court level. But in terms of mass-producing ideas that have corrupted the entire nation, the Supreme Court of the United States, the courts, take the major portion of the blame. If you were to look at the bad guys, the guys who were of greatest affront to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ones that shook their fist in the face of God through the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, Steve, I think more than anybody else, it would be the Supreme Court justices in the United States of America.
Yeah, and I think part of it is that there's just a lack of understanding as to the Constitution, the articles that determine what they do and how much power they have and things like that. One of the things that we've asked in our speech and debate club is, you know, everybody understands the checks and balances on the president, that the Congress can override a veto, the Congress can pull the purse strings, you know, with the House of Representatives, but nobody understands what is the check and balance on the Supreme Court. And they think that whatever the Supreme Court does is final, that they are supreme, but that's not the case. And I think the Supreme Court is starting to understand that, or has been understanding that, that they are to interpret the Constitution, interpret the laws, but that's not necessarily their job either.
Well, the problem, of course, is that the opposition needs to have some courage, and there is so little courage among the states, among the congressmen, the people that could rein in the Supreme Court of the United States. There's not enough moral courage. Because, you see, if these men and women are leading the principalities and powers of the nation for the cause of evil,
And if they have been at the beck and call of demonic forces, it's going to take some righteous force. Does that make sense? Some moral force.
Yes.
Some moral courage to face down the severe evil that is preserved and advocated by the Supreme Court of the United States. That is the issue, Steve. I don't think it's a problem of people not knowing the Constitution or not knowing that the Constitution exists or not knowing that there are some mechanisms by which they can rein in the power of the Supreme Court of the United States. They know there are ways in which they can do this. They just don't have the moral courage to pull it off. I think that's the issue. But to review what the Supreme Court of the United States has done over the last 50, 60 years, I mean, you think about all of the instances in which the fear of God, prayer, and Bible reading were withdrawn from the public schools in the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s. There were four to five cases, one after the other after the other, that secularized the public schools and were very, very careful to be sure that Americans, evangelical Catholic kids, the vast majority of American Christian kids would be taught that the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is not the fear of God, but is the fear of man or something else. And that is crucial. That is crucial. You've got to destroy the schools. You've got to undermine the most basic biblical presupposition to the area of education, and that is the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in order to bring about the corruption of the public schools and the breakdown of America. That has to come first before Roe v. Wade, before Lawrence v. Texas. You've got to destroy the schools first. And so that's how to destroy the faith. That's how to destroy the Christian faith. That's how to disciple kids over a period of 20,000 hours in those public schools. If you're going to disciple them, you've got to be sure that prayer, the fear of God, the recognition of God, the honor of God is not there. And if that's the case, then you will have a fairly secularized nation by the year 2015. So it was the Supreme Court of the United States that did the best they could to remove the basic foundational building block of the fear of God from the public schools. After that came Roe v. Wade and the destruction of human life. And now we have between 60 and 100 million dead babies as a result of the abortifacient contraceptives that are, of course, pushed by this federal government and by of all the abortion clinics across this country. All right, my friends, after that, Lawrence v. Texas, the homosexual decision that came in the early part of the 2000s, and then the last couple of years, the promotion of homosexuality and the persecution of Christians that came by the Supreme Court of the United States in 2015 and 2016. The Supreme Court of the United States seems to be the means by which society has been most perverted. It seems to be the means that the forces of darkness have chosen to destroy the nation and to pervert the nation. It is the Supreme Court of the United States, first and foremost. Be back in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
Folks, we're back on the Generations broadcast. It seems the Supreme Court of the United States is the preferred means chosen by which society has been most perverted over the last 60 years. And cases in point, I pointed to prayer in the public schools, abortion, homosexuality, and the persecution of Christians, all spearheaded by the Supreme Court of the United States, not the legislatures and not the presidents. It is the Supreme Court of the United States that keeps the bleeding liberal edge towards the rebellion against Christ and the destruction of righteousness and liberty across this country. Here's an interesting quote by the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, John Jay. My dad sent it to me this morning, so I was going to read it as part of this program. Again, friends, John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. No human society has ever been able to maintain both order and freedom, both cohesiveness and liberty apart from the moral precepts of the Christian religion, allied and accepted by all the classes. Should our republic e'er forget this fundamental precept of governance, men are certain to shed their responsibilities for licentiousness, and this great experiment will surely be doomed.
And it has.
Oh man, he said it. This guy said it. I don't think anybody could say it better than he did. This is amazing. John Jay, first Supreme Court Justice of the United States, if you can undermine the morality of the nation and create licentiousness, you will destroy this great experiment in liberty, precisely what has happened. Lawrence v. Texas, or Obergefell, Roe v. Wade, there it is. It's happened again and again. All right, now the Supreme Court of the United States, of course, violating states' rights and energizing the pro-abort movement big time. Have the last 10 years of the pro-life work in the individual states gone down the drain? It seems to me that's what's happening. Wow, here's Planned Parenthood excited, pleased as punch, that the Supreme Court of the United States slammed the Texas abortion law. The pro-abortion lobby has been energized, my friends, by the Supreme Court's recent action. Here's the executive vice president of Planned Parenthood, Dawn Le Guin. She announced that the organization is planning to challenge restrictions now on abortion in 8 states. Here's what she said. We will fight back state by state, law by law. No matter how long it takes, these laws will fail. Well, is she sure?
Yeah.
She's happy because she's on a roll. And the Supreme Court of the United States has said if a state attempts to restrict abortion in any way, shape, or form, they didn't quite say that, but you know that's their ideology.
Yeah.
You know if you've got a majority, 5-3, polling the position of the pro-abort and refusing to allow any states to restrict. If you've got 5 Supreme Court justices now, doesn't matter who the next president of the United States is going to appoint for that 4th, conservative, liberal, we don't know who that's going to be, or the 9th justice. We don't know who the 9th justice is going to be. But right now the split is 5-3 on whether to obliterate space states' rights and to provide for zero restriction at the state level for abortion. That, my friends, is the position that has been taken by the Supreme Court of the United States. They've sent the message across the United States, and the Planned Parenthood forces understand this, and they're excited, they're pleased as punch, that now they've got open license to kill as many babies as possible in the state of Texas or anywhere else, because there will be no more restrictions on abortion, thanks to the Supreme Court of the United States. By the way, the same thing has happened when it comes to the pro-homosexual realm. The pro-homosexual realm has been very much energized by the Obergefell ruling. They know that they're on a roll, and the next target will be colleges. And that's because we know that it is college that does set the direction for the Supreme Court of the United States in the year 2040.
Yeah, and they're already targeting churches in, I believe it's Iowa. Did you see that story where they are saying that churches that are open to the public are going to need to open up their bathrooms to transgenders as well?
Yes, I saw that as well.
Yeah.
I saw that as well. So churches will have to open up their bathrooms to transgenders. Why? Because of Obergefell. Because of the Supreme Court of the United States. And again, I didn't mention this, but it's not just Texas when it comes to these abortion restrictions.
Yeah, Mississippi.
A federal judge threw a injunction upon the Mississippi law that would have allowed a little flexibility there in Mississippi. Another federal judge threw an injunction over the Indiana law that would have preserved little babies born with Down syndrome in the state of Indiana, special needs kids.
Yeah.
No, they must be slaughtered too. They must be aborted. No restrictions whatsoever. According to the Supreme Court of the United States and the federal judges that apparently are working in concert with them. Friends, it is the courts that have been so perverted to bring about this powerful, powerful move against the pro-life forces and against anybody who stands for righteousness across this country today. These forces are formidable. Now, we're not saying be discouraged. We're just saying these are the forces against you. And understand the Obergefell ruling also has heavily energized the pro-homosexual crowd. And now the homosexual crowd has moved their attention not just to the cake makers, but more towards the Christian colleges. And I think they understand that this is going to be a very important battle for them if they're going to wipe out all vestiges of dissent. Do you remember that's what one of the dissenting justices on the Obergefell case said, that the Obergefell case would result in the wiping out of all dissent across this country. That's the goal of Obergefell last year. They will wipe out all vestiges of dissent. And one of those vestiges of dissent is that 4% of America that still receives something of a biblical worldview in their college instruction. And that happens to be a few Christian colleges. Now, it's not many. But it's a couple of Christian colleges still hold on to some remnants of a Christian worldview. And those that do and receive federal funding are going to receive a fair amount of pushback. Now, it's hard to survive as a college without federal funding. Why? Because federal funding is a result of federal taxation. Everybody's taxed. Everybody wants the bennies. And if you don't get the bennies, then you can't do college. And so nobody comes to your college unless you receive the federal bennies. You understand the issue. The issue is that once you increase the size of government to the point that government funds, well, just about everything, then government controls everything, including your hiring practices, including whether you open up your dorms to homosexual couples, et cetera, et cetera. What the government funds, the government controls. Please understand this is part and parcel of the government control of education and health care. They've got it wrapped up, my friends. Unless you can absolve yourselves from this system, unless you train yourself, wean yourself from the systems, and you refuse to receive these government bennies, you homeschool your kids and home college your kids and refuse these government bennies, unless you are able to wean yourself from the system, unless you've got some kind of faith to wean yourself from these systems, the government is going to lock up 100% control of higher education in the years to come.
Yeah, remember, a government that is large enough to provide everything you need is a government big enough to take everything you have.
Yeah, and they will. Okay, but the corruption of the courts, that comes ultimately from the universities. The battleground is education, friends. You know, we talk about a lot of battles here. But the battleground is education. It has to do with who's discipling the nations. Is it Jesus? Or is it Muhammad? Or Karl Marx? Or John Dewey? Or Charles Darwin? Bottom line is, if you had a choice, who's going to educate my 7-year-old kid? And you had a choice between Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, or John Dewey, which would you choose? You're going to send him to that school. He's going to receive 20,000 hours of instruction from Muhammad, or Buddha, or John Dewey, or Jesus, with their respective perspectives on reality, truth, ethics, etc. Which would you choose? Steve, you asked that question of the average Christian. Which would they choose?
They would probably say Jesus, but then send them to the school where they'd be taught by John Dewey and Buddha. And Muhammad.
You think so?
Yeah. I think they would say, they would give you the answer that you want to hear, but then they'd say, but you know, I just don't have time. And you know, Jesus doesn't have time to teach my kid. And so I'm going to send them to the public school where they're going to be discipled by John Dewey.
We started out by saying that the United States Supreme Court is the source of the perversion of society and the legal system and the way that we view right and wrong across this country. But if you dig on down, you say, well, who educated these people? It was the schools. The battleground is education. The very source of the problem is the way we teach science, liberal arts, politics, and law. Therefore, Christians ought to be very excited, enthusiastic, interested in the reformation of education. That's why we've got our books published, like Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education of Your Child, or Keep the Faith on Education, or our new curriculum, Christian Curriculum Project, including Worldviews and Conflict. That's why we put this together, because we don't want to repeat the problems for our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. We got to find a way to reform the way we educate, my friends. And we have opportunity to do that, I believe. As long as you have evolution in the schools, and as long as you teach humanist ethics in the schools, you're going to see the perversion of the schools and the perversion of education, the perversion of politics and the perversion of law and the perversion of the courts and the perversion of business and the perversion of the churches and the perversion of everything else. The discipleship that you choose for your kids really matters. Well, how did the Supreme Court of the United States get corrupted? It happened through the corruption of the law schools. It was Harvard Law School that corrupted itself as early as the 1870s. When Harvard Law School Dean Christopher Columbus Langdell applied Darwin's theory of education to law, students studied the decisions of judges more so than they would study the Constitution of the United States. And then Roscoe Pound was also very influential at Harvard Law School. He strengthened and expanded the ideas of Langdell. He institutionalized legal positivism, which is a kind of Darwinian theory of moving towards a goal by positive or forward steps of change, and that positive change is necessary for society to evolve into its end form. And see, now, the Supreme Court of the United States took that and said, okay, well, we have a goal here. We have a responsibility. We must evolve society into a higher form, and we do so by way of the evolution of law. So that's why you have these revolutionary decisions that have nothing to do with the Constitution of the United States, but rather their intention is to change the way that people view right and wrong. You see, it's very radical. It's very revolutionary. And it ultimately comes from this evolutionary view of law that is rooted in Charles Darwin, of course. Oliver Wendell Holmes also held that original intent and precedent held little value. He was serving as Supreme Court Justice as early as 1902. He argued for 30 years that decisions should not be based upon natural law or any fixed standards, but upon the felt necessities of the time and the prevalent political theories so that society could reach a social change to what men wanted. Then we have Louis Brandeis. I think he served somewhere between 1916 and 1941 in the Supreme Court of the United States. He urged the court to be bold in leading society to change. He wanted the reason of man to be the ultimate rule, not the law of God, nor the ideas of the founders. And then, of course, Benjamin Cardoza, another Supreme Court justice, held that there is no law to bind the judge. No law. Justice Cardoza called for new laws from the bench of the Supreme Court by decision unbound by tradition or precedent. He wrote a book in which he wrote extensively on the evolution of law and the nature of the judicial process. Quote, my duty as judge may be to objectify in law, not my own aspirations and convictions and philosophies, but the aspirations and convictions and philosophies of the men and women of my time. You see, in other words, lick your finger, put it up in the wind, figure out which way the wind is blowing, and you go that way. Hardly shall I do this well if my own sympathies and beliefs and passionate devotions are with a time that is past. In other words, if my convictions are that with the Constitution of the United States or with natural law or with anything that's ever happened in the past, then I will not make a proper judge. This is Benjamin Cardoza writing in a book called The Nature of the Judicial Process. This would have been somewhere between 1900 and 1938. He wrote that the judicial process is one of compromise between paradoxes, between certainty and uncertainty, between literalism, that is the exaltation of the written word, and the nihilism that is destructive of regularity and order. So take into account this nihilism, this destruction of regularity and order. Take chaos into account. That plays in to the evolutionary process. In other words, what he's doing is he's thinking exactly according to the natural process defined and described by Charles Darwin. Earl Warren, in 1958, wrote, "The constitutional amendment must draw its meaning from the evolving standards of decency that mark the progress of a maturing society." And, of course, the evolving standards of decency must include the endorsement of things like polygamy, sodomy, incest, human sacrifice, etc., etc. What is involved with the evolving standards of decency? Well, fill in the blank. Okay, so that's the history of the evolutionary view of law that was formed between 1880 and 1958. And then in 1962, school prayer was struck down with Engel v. Vital. 1963, school Bible reading was struck down. 1980, the school display of the Ten Commandments was struck down. 1985, the school moment of silence was struck down. 1989, the display of the birth of Christ was not allowed on public property. And then, of course, on and on, Roe v. Wade, Obergefell, and on it goes. All right, so that's the effects of the evolutionary process of law that was developed between 1880 under Christopher Columbus Langdell and Roscoe Pound and Earl Warren in 1958. So it took about 50 to 60 years to corrupt Harvard Law School to the point at which they could corrupt the Supreme Court of the United States almost thoroughly and then destroy a nation. So that, my friends, is just a little bit of the narrative of how you destroy a nation by way of destroying its education and its law schools.
Yeah, it seems like that the whole thing about the evolving moral of a society looks like it's devolving from biblical standards, and therefore we're heading towards anarchy.
Now, that's one reason why the Ontario High Court in Canada struck down the accreditation for Trinity Western University's law school. Does that make sense, Steve? Why they would want to do that? Because if there was even a single Christian that could make it through the crowd and say, like the little boy did in the Emperor's New Clothes procession, the dude's nude, if anybody makes it out of Trinity Western University Law School, that would be a tragedy for those who are committed to a Darwinian view of law and an evolving perspective of law. Of course they don't want accreditation for Trinity Western University's law school. And the university lost its appeal at the Ontario High Court in Canada just last week. Now, they plan to fight this thing up to the Canadian Supreme Court. But please understand, friends, they're shutting it down because of Trinity Western University's perspective on homosexuality. Please understand that the forces of darkness are dominating right now in the courts, whether it be in Canada or the United States of America. Now, it's not to say that's always going to be the case, because do remember what Psalm 2 says. We'll read it one more time. "Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth." I know they think they're getting away with it. I know they think they'll get away with it for the next 1,000 years. I know they don't want to submit themselves to the rule of Christ and his holy law. But what does it say? "Be wise. Be instructed, you judges of the earth." Yeah, I know you attended Harvard Law School. I know you think you're pretty smart. But it's time for you to get lesson number one. Come back to kindergarten. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. You Supreme Court justices tuning into the Generations program right now. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Hey, you know, they think that they are at the tip top of all of human experience. They have more power than anybody has had as those ruling over the children of men over a period of thousands and thousands of years. I know they have a sense for their power. I know they think they know that they are nothing but cosmic dust in the universe, the pure chance. And they have evolved, as all material things have evolved, they think. And they think that law itself must evolve in a random universe in which there is no such thing as right and wrong. Yes, I know they've been taught that by the Darwinian philosophy of law in the materialistic, naturalistic law schools for 120 years. Yes, I know that God has been absent in Harvard for 120 years. I understand that God's law is not taught as basic law at Harvard Law School for 120 years, but it's time right now to kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. That's the message to the Supreme Court of the United States and every single Harvard Law School professor serving right now out there in Massachusetts. Kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Get a clue, and get a clue right now. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.